Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. This is Isaiah. But for those of you that have studied the Bible some, you know that this is 2nd Isaiah. The Isaiah we read from a couple of weeks ago, Isaiah 5 and Isaiah 11, is the Isaiah of Jerusalem. He is speaking to the king of Judah, and he is talking and reflecting in that tone of voice. And it comes at a time that the northern kingdom is being destroyed. That's where the words come from. The words today have a bit of time in between the end of chapter 39 and the beginning of verse 40. About 150 years has gone by. And in that 150 years, what King Hezekiah had hoped for at the end of 39, the word of the Lord, King Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good." For he thought, Hezekiah, "There will be peace and security in my days." Wrong. Wrong. That is not what happens. Jerusalem is conquered. Some time goes by. It doesn't happen immediately that everything breaks apart. But things, bad things happen to the kingdom of Judah that's in the south. In Hebrew, we need to remember that when we see quotation marks in Hebrew, those have been added by editors. They're not there in the original. And when we get to a section of this passage, I want to invite you to perhaps see the quotation marks in a different way. And so as I do my reading, I will probably stop and pause and make a point. I will most definitely do that. I'm on page 667 of your Pew Bibles. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her, for she has served her term, and her penalty is paid, that she received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, 'In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low.'" How many of you want to sing right there?
Yeah.
"The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry out." And it could be translated, "A voice says, preach." A voice says, "Preach." Now, here's where I want you to move the quotation marks, okay? It says, "What shall I preach? What shall I cry?" It ends with a quotation mark there after the question mark. I'm going to move that for you. Okay, you ready? "And I, Isaiah, said, 'What shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people of the people are grass.'" End of quotation. Then the next passage is God speaking back to Isaiah. It acknowledges it. "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him." In words of tenderness. "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep." This is the word of God for the people of God. I suggested to you that you might want to think a little bit about the physicality of what Isaiah has written here. And we know, because we've had it help explained to us, that there's devastation. There's loneliness. There's exile that has occurred. And God has decided to call this second prophet that we'll call Isaiah. And this ought to be getting to be old news to us. But when Moses was called, what does he say? I'm a murderer. There's people who want me back in Egypt. And besides, what do I know about the desert? Besides, I'm a poor public speaker. Jeremiah, we haven't studied it, but Jeremiah will get the same kind of call, and he'll step back and say, got the wrong guy, I'm just too young. The other Isaiah, in Isaiah 1, will basically say, you can't call me. I can't lead a people as sinful as these people are. And here you've got Isaiah number 2, being called by God, and what's his response? His response is basically, you can't be serious. You can't be serious, because if you're serious, I'm going to get up there and preach this fantastic, great sermon, and I'm going to change people's hearts and minds, and then the day will occur. They'll be like grass. I mean, Utah is probably a lot like things were in the Euphrates area. The morning dew would come in and the grass would be green and beautiful and luxuriant. And then the day comes in. And what does it do? It beats down on that grass, and the grass withers before your very eye. You can watch it almost go from green to brown in minutes because of the intensity of the day. And Isaiah says, people are just like that grass. They're just like that grass. And you know, I'll go out there and preach this great sermon, and what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. There's not going to be any change. They're going to continue just being themselves because they're going to wither like grass. And then God says, I agree with you. That is indeed what's going to happen. You'll get up and preach this great sermon inspired by my Holy Spirit. You'll be up there and you'll do this and you'll preach that, and indeed the grass will wither. The people that hear it will wither, but that does not mean for you to stop and not do it. You're still called upon to get up to this high place, to go to this high place. And the community of Zion, the community of Israel, the community of Judah is called to go with you to this mountaintop and proclaim it with you. And what do you proclaim? You proclaim that the Word of God endures forever. You get to this tenderness, and that God will be there and will nurture and care, just as a shepherd cares for you. It's been a time of loss for us, hasn't it? Why do we come in and what difference does it make? We come in and we offer prayers and Ralph dies anyway. We come in and we ask for help with Lois and Lois dies. We ask for encouragement for Ruth Hines and her mother dies anyway. We didn't lift up Claudine, but we would have if somebody had asked us, and her grandmother dies anyway. Why bother? Why bother? Those things I've described are part of life. They're part of the things that go on with us in life. I mean, I made the comment a couple of weeks ago. Does anybody here believe they're going to get out of here alive? No. We're all going to get there. The issue sometimes for us is what kind of character we show in that journey. And I would say to you that we've been inspired by some of those names that I've mentioned and the character that they have provided to us and how it is that their walk allows us to continue to walk. So the devastation that's there in front of the children of Judah is that God says, I hear you, Isaiah. I hear you. I'm sympathetic with where you are on this. I acknowledge that. Matter of fact, I've got more experience at this than you do, Isaiah. I've been here a little longer than you have. And I've had other prophets have preached the word. And you know what? there does seem to be some measure of constancy to the fact of people hearing it and then withering like grass. But I still want you to go to that mountaintop and proclaim the word of the Lord. And what is the word of the Lord? It is for us. And why do we want to do that? Because the word of the Lord endures forever. Not that the word of the Lord endures for 5 minutes, not for 10 minutes, not until the sun comes out, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And what do we proclaim? We proclaim the idea of peace. We proclaim the idea of wholeness. We proclaim the idea of becoming complete in our understanding of who we are and who God calls us to be by studying that word that endures forever. We just sang Emmanuel, God with us, God revealed to the rest of the world through us. What a great idea. What a fantastic idea. And the challenge is to not let it wither in the sun, not let it wither and become calloused. Why bother? Why bother? Because the word of the Lord endures. We're called to preach a message of hope. We're called to proclaim a message of peace. Shalom doesn't only mean peace, it means wholeness. We move from brokenness to wholeness. And that's the task that's there for us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be coming in here anymore and talking about Ferguson's and Cleveland's and Staten Island's and Paris and Colorado Springs and San Bernardino. But it's not going to change unless our hearts change. And we find a way to be able to talk to each other and be able to see beyond our preconceived notions of exactly how it is that this is solved. And there's no other way to solve it. But I think the Advent idea for us is that the proclamation points towards Bethlehem. It points towards Bethlehem and says and announces that God is coming back into the world in a new way, in a different way, in a refreshingly different way, in such a way that we stand in eager anticipation of that arrival. I would say to you that in reality, probably every day is a day of Advent. It's a day of anticipation, of allowing God to enter into our hearts and change the way we live. You have two choices there. You can be like Isaiah for a moment and say, why bother? Why bother? It doesn't matter anyway. Or you can take the long vision, the much longer vision, and you can say, we're going to proclaim the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord that endures forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.